Hi, this is Harold Ramis. I directed the movie Vacation, the original Vacation, written by John Hughes.
This is Chevy Chase. I play the guy in that car and that guy there.
That was Chevy Chase.
And that's Matty Simmons talking now. But Matty, why don't you pass it down to the line?
I'm Matty Simmons, the producer of the film. And I pass to little Audrey.
Dana Barron, I play Audrey.
It's Anthony Michael Hall, I played Rusty.
Russ
the feet.
Feet.
Randy Quaid played Cousin Eddie.
And I'm not.
I like this theme song here. Yeah, I like this.
What you're seeing are vintage postcards collected by a man named John Margulies, who's also an architectural photographer and probably one of the principal documentarians of American roadside architecture. Aside from these vintage cards, some of the things you'll see in this credit sequence are motels, roadside attractions. John's traveled the country photographing every kind of dinosaur and spaceship diner and railroad car diner. He's documented movie theaters, miniature golf courses, Art Deco hotels. So he's kind of an expert on that field, and I knew him socially and thought it would be great to use his work, both his postcard collection and his documentary photographs, for this postcard sequence. Some of these are invented postcards. We took John's photographs and turned them into postcards. The project was offered to me by Matty Simmons, who was the publisher of the National Lampoon, and Matty had a short story by John Hughes about this family trip, and I liked the script, but basically one thing we fundamentally did was change the geography of the film, which I'll explain as we go along.
This is a good time for me to say, and
Matty Simmons.
Go ahead, Matty.
This came from the National Lampoon when we were the big humor magazine, and John Hughes was an editor. I wrote this story. I saw it, and I fell in love with it, and I said, let's make a movie.
And here comes a young man by the name of Eugene Levy.
Oh.
Who's probably one of the funniest men in the world.
This is Eugene Levy, who I'd worked with at SCTV as the car salesman. Eugene's great at playing shifty characters. I used him later in Club Paradise, and I used him in the movie Multiplicity.
See you later.
Pretty exciting, isn't it, Rusty?
Notice now that Rusty is a certain height, but by the end of the movie, he's a completely different height.
Because I went through puberty during
that's
the
not
movie.
True. Chevy shrunk, actually, during the movie.
It's a nice suit on Chevy. With a seersucker.
You still have those glasses, I think. You're wearing them.
Yeah,
you are wearing them
right now.
Can't afford a new pair of glasses.
Now, Eugene's character was Lou Glutz, right? It was Lou Glutz Motors, and we shot this somewhere in the valley, I think.
The Wagon Queen family trucks, we had five of them, actually, that we altered in different ways, but we added some body work, we doubled all the lights, we put on as much kind of crappy wood paneling as we could.
I distinctly ordered the Antarctic Blue Super Sports Wagon with the CB and the optional Rally Fun Pack.
You didn't order the Metallic P?
Metallic P? No, Antarctic Blue. The Sports Wagon, this isn't even the right model.
You know, I think you're right. I don't think this is the car. This is the new Wagon Queen.
Eugene's also been in the Chris Guest movies, Waiting for Guffman and Best in Show, and he's in Chris's movie, A Mighty Wind, which is a big folk music mockumentary coming up.
Yes, Mr. Ed.
Mr. Griswold ordered a blue sports wagon. Where is it?
I don't know, sir.
I know what must have happened. It didn't come in.
I'm not your ordinary, everyday fool, okay? Now, I'd like my Antarctic Blue Super Sports Wagon right now.
I directed Chevy in Caddyshack, which was largely a lot of invented stuff. But this part was so perfect for Chevy. He fell into character immediately as soon as we started talking about him being the ultimate over-the-top good dad.
All right, back and bring it back here.
This was fun, crushing this wagon.
How much do you think that car would go on eBay these days?
The crushed version or the pea green version?
I owe it to myself to tell you, Mr. Griswold, that if you're thinking of taking the tribe cross country, this is the automobile you should be using, the Wagon Queen family truckster. You think you hate it now, but wait till you drive it.
I don't want to drive it. I just want my old car back, okay?
There's a little leap of magical realism. They've got Chevy's crushed car back in 5 seconds, basically. This is in L.A. I think we were shooting this in a suburb called Arcadia because it was close to another location we used later. You don't see it here, but this is a very hot time in L.A. It's in late August, and it's about 120 degrees, I suppose, which will be important later. The beautiful Beverly D'Angelo.
I like her big hair.
Oh, God, I like hair.
Look at little Audrey, huh?
I hated that hair. I couldn't stand that French braid.
I don't think I overacted here.
Not at all.
No, you bounced a lot, though.
Taking the whole tribe across country. Believe me, this is your automobile.
Why is it still running?
Oh, all new cars do that. I'll take care of that in a second.
I can't tell you how many thousands of people have said to me in these 20 years, just like my family. Just like my family.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Spared no expense at Warner Brothers.
Now watch this. Here's something nobody knows. Watch me with the dishes. I never, ever rinse them. I just wipe them off and put them away.
Oh, yeah. That's
the dishes are filthy.
Yeah. No.
No.
Do, know that.
Do that at home with Jane?
Oh,
that's
no. I just wipe them off and very put them nice. Away.
People see that.
I don't think they ever notice
Oh,
it.
Yes, they do. That I've had nice. People say that to me.
Yeah?
Yeah. They say they do the same way. Looking forward to an awfully long ride.
You get to see the kids all the time. Basically, we figured this was a story of a dad who basically gets 2 weeks off a year and overcompensates like a madman to give his family everything he didn't give them for the rest of the year.
My little babies are all grown up, and then what?
I just thought it might be easier to fly.
Nothing worthwhile is easy, Ellen. We know that. Kids!
Yeah, so many actresses wanted that role, and I think Chevy, I think you and I were the only ones who were really... No, she's the one.
What?
Well, I remember you were...
Beverly, yeah.
Chevy, you were saying that you wanted an actress over, 5'6", 5'7". And you loved her, but you were disappointed.
Well, but she wore...
No,
tiny.
I don't
She
remember.
Wore high, big
no.
lifts all the time.
She's so funny.
Yeah, she's great with comedy, Beverly.
She's
yeah.
about the best
Wonderful.
There is. One of the most talented women in the world.
And I remember when we put on Michael Hall, the first thing I said to the casting agent was, he's got to keep the braces.
As we leave Chicago. Rusty, please do not eat the...
This is what dates the film, I think, more than anything.
Pac-Man reference
Pac-Man,
there.
Pac-Man, yeah.
And look at all your 8x10s from your commercial years in New York, Dana, on the wall there. Very nice. Very nice.
That's compliments of my mother.
Got that. Here I come.
All right, that's enough, Russ. Okay, now I think we're moving toward the camera. Thank you. Good shot, Audrey.
Dad, I forgot. Why are we flying?
Why aren't we flying? Because getting there is half the fun. You know that.
On this day, I swear it was about 115 degrees. Chevy's loading luggage into the car. We did a bunch of takes. Chevy was getting very frustrated and really, really hot. And at one point, I was just certain that Chevy was going to throw something. He was holding these suitcases when he was loading the car, and I was sure he was going to throw something. And I could see it was a small duffel bag, and he looked around for a place to throw it, and I could see he looked over at there were lights over there, he couldn't throw it, and then he looked at the camera, couldn't throw it at the camera, and then in that instant, I knew he was going to throw it right at me, but I was so ready for it, I just put my hand up and caught the suitcase with one hand, and then I got really righteous and yelled at Jim in front of everybody, and he never did anything bad to me again. These are just the greatest postcard views of Chicago. I grew up in the city, and I just knew what shots I wanted.
Whose idea was it to sing? Beverly,
we were just singing all the time together. Yeah.
She sung in
She's
hair,
got a good
too.
Voice.
She
yeah.
can really
yeah.
sing.
Her dad was
yeah.
a jazz musician.
Beautiful voice.
Come on, kids.
You don't know any of your songs.
That's not made up. That sounds made up.
Okay, I got one.
You were at what here, about 22 here, Anthony?
21. No, I was actually 14 at the time.
14, yeah. I remember.
Moose, we know. Marty Moose. Who's the star of our favorite show? Marty Moose. M is for Mary. We're Mary, you see. O is for Osho. Dolly, oh, gee. S is for Super Swell Family Glee. E is for everything you want to be. M-A-R-T-Y. M-O-O-S-E.
What's that spell?
Marty Moose. Yuck! That's me! Alright, that's more like it. Hey, here's one you don't know. We used to sing this when you were little kids. You're gonna like this. Jimmy Crack Corn and I don't care. Jimmy Crack Corn and I don't care. Jimmy Crack Corn and I don't care.
Let's go!
After this movie came out, and I used to travel with my wife and my daughter, a friend of ours used to refer to us as the Griswolds, because I actually had a 9-passenger station wagon, and our trips were about like this.
Swing low, sweet chariot.
How many locations?
Oh, God. Gee, I don't remember.
Oh, Colorado. 14, 15.
We drove four different almost states. The whole way across doing it.
There's one of my
we're
favorite.
In Pueblo, Colorado, and Durango, Colorado.
We were only on a lot very briefly.
And then Arizona.
Now, this
too.
Wasn't even written. Russ,
this is one of my favorite scenes, actually.
Anthony, nice, Michael, nice I used seat, to call
huh?
Michael.
Yes.
Michael just put his feet up there.
Sure.
He wasn't even written. Now, this wasn't written either. Here, I'll tell you what happened here. When the license plate goes,
you hit. Oh, that's right.
I damn near
hit
took
someone.
The lady's head off with the thing. This is all very funny physical stuff, if I may say so, my damn self.
I thought so.
Look at this.
I remember that. You were really worried about her, too.
I was worried. In fact, I thought it was over. The shot was cut, and we were going to redo it. Look at it. He's looking for it. That's what I call physical.
Man in search of
her. Here she is.
And then, see, over there on the left, the kid found it. Now watch this. Now look at that.
Oh, wow.
I thought I was going to take her head off.
You
I
nearly
really thought.
Did.
And so that's why I made that look at all.
Now you have the same glasses with sunglasses on there.
Yeah.
It's kind of polarized version of the same look.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And didn't need glasses
right.
at that time.
And we all had eyes on shirts.
In fact, we never had any reason to wear them, except for driving, I guess. That was the idea.
St. Louis.
It's one of my favorite bits right here.
There's an elevator all the way to the top. That's 60 stories, you and me.
Wow, Jack, can we go up on it?
No.
No, not at all.
No.
Ah, that's the Mississippi. Mighty Mississippi.
The old
man.
The old man.
Deep river. My home is over Jordan.
Clark, I think this is the wrong exit.
What's the difference? As long as we get across the river.
This is Backlot at Warner Brothers. This is probably the most politically incorrect sequence I've ever shot. It dehumanizes everyone involved. I'm not proud of it. I'm not even sure I would shoot this sequence today. And if I did, I'd shoot it a much different way or write it differently.
No, that's bad. I mean, we can't close our eyes to the plight of the cities. Kids, you noticing all this plight? This'll just make us appreciate what we have. Roll them up.
Now, see, there's no window?
Right, and Chevy's doing it anyway.
That's her window on the
very
other
nice.
Side.
And then the whistle. You top things off with a whistle occasionally, which I love.
Well, I better ask these fellows how to get back on the expressway. Pardon me. I wonder if you could tell me how to get back on the expressway.
Hey, fuck your mama.
Thank you very much.
Big line in the script, though. Where it wasn't mine. It was John Hughes, but everyone wanted us to keep it. That was an actor named Chris Jackson who had that line.
Say, excuse me, Holmes. Aha. What it is, bro? We're from out of town.
No shit. Yeah, listen, I'd really appreciate it if you could give me directions back onto the expressway.
This is a guy named Nathan Cook. Really good actor.
Sure. $5. I'm not going to give you $5 for directions.
I think that's fair, Clark.
Okay, here's 10.
There you go.
Keep the change.
Okay. Now, you see which way you're pointing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's good, because you see that place?
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. You see where I say rib tip?
Rib tip.
Mm-hmm.
The whole National Lampoon style of humor was always a little harder edged and a little crueler than the stuff I tended to do by my normal instincts. But for the Lampoon, I was always willing to push it a little further, as we did in Animal House and in this movie.
You don't want to know from me, man. This ain't even my neighborhood. I'm from the west side of Chicago, here on vacation.
Thanks a lot. You've been a great help.
Mr. Love, when you say you
honey?
Love me,
mm-hmm. This reminds me of the time in college when we drove down to Fort Lauderdale in my Austin Healey.
I haven't thought about that for a long time.
Remember what we did in the car?
It's amazing we didn't get in an accident.
This is called Poor Man's Process. This car is just sitting on a sound stage with all the lights turned out. And an electrician is just panning a spotlight across their faces occasionally. And those lights in the far distance behind out Chevy's window are just slowly being dragged on a dolly.
Okay. Beverly was 49 years old. Look how cute she was.
And you were 23.
Mm-hmm. And she's going to put her head on my lap.
Just the steering wheel, yeah.
The problem here was that it got caught.
My head stuck.
And then what are the kids going to think? Well, you know, that was the whole...
God, quit kidding around. It hurts.
With the 50s love theme in the background is great.
Cut it out! Oh, I know what you're trying to do, and I think it's sick.
The wheel's stuck, huh?
That was a dirty trick.
Oh, the damn wheel's all screwed up.
You're tired. You get weird when you get tired. Let's just find a motel. I don't want you dozing off.
I'm not tired. Are you kidding?
She maintains her character all the way through beautifully. It's unbelievable. She's so funny, and she just plays it straight and real.
And she has such a great range at acting, too,
yeah.
Does she?
Yes.
I think she was just made into a... I think the Queen just knighted her or something. She was 76 now? there is. There's the look. Driving
yeah,
like
there
that.
It is. Very nice. Now, there's a great shot here when we pull off the road here and we pull into the hotel.
Oh, yeah.
This
I love
guy almost like
guy
maims his dog. Yeah, the guy with his dog. It's
yeah,
a great
he's a
shot.
Stuntman.
Yeah, he was.
And so's the dog.
Oh,
yeah. Check this out.
No,
there's some great
the
groceries.
Dog's a stunt dog.
Stunt dog, sure.
It's the same. They had the same guy who trained
stunt.
Dinky.
This guy here, I love him. I love his look.
Yeah. Right here. Very nice.
A nice look. A great cut. Then Dick Zeiker. Park to the car.
Watch the dog. Oh, yeah.
Very nice. That's the trainer of Dinky.
Is that Zeiker?
I still have that
is
dog.
Driving?
Mike,
yeah.
You remember, when he parked the car that he did it in one take?
Yeah, he backed into this. It's an amazing move he pulls
he did
off right here.
Does a 360 and
the best stuntman in the business.
Total 360.
Yeah,
yes.
Right here.
Right here. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah, 180.
Nice.
Perfect.
We're here.
Well, up and at 'em. We're here.
Now, this is a very important shot for Bev.
Can I do your back, honey?
I've already done my back.
I'd first seen Beverly D'Angelo in the movie Hair. She played the patrician girl who Claude falls in love with. She was really cool in that movie. And
you know, Clark, maybe we should call Catherine.
And I just really liked her when she read for us.
Afternoon? If we're not there by 10 a.m., you know, it's going to throw the schedule completely off, honey. I planned everything very carefully so we'd be at Wally World first thing Saturday morning.
Sparky. I know how much this trip means to you and that you want all of us to have a great time, but it's a long way to Wally World, and I think it'd be easier on all of us if you just try to relax.
I'm way ahead of you, honey.
Oh! When did you get these?
Oh, I have my little secrets. Little secrets.
What a nice thought.
Don't drink yet.
Got a nice little mood score here.
Sure.
Oh, God.
Oh, and of course, the vibrating bed, Joe.
Oh, I forgot all about that, yeah.
We actually had guys underneath the bed, didn't we, Matt?
Yeah, I think
they were actually crew guys, because we didn't know how to do the hydraulics at that point.
Levers. They
had levers.
Mike, did you know these kind of things existed?
Huh?
Did you know these kind of things existed, the vibrating
bed? Oh, sure, yeah. I've been perverted for years.
I listened to even the voice.
I love it there. Little sound effects.
Well, are you making that voice?
Yeah.
No, we shook the sound, man.
What I did was I did this while in the looping of it.
Right.
It's the Exorcist scene.
It'll be fine.
Hold on to this. Enjoy it.
Bob, what did you...
Let's try this, my darling. Talking.
We haven't done this for a long time.
What's that noise? What's going on?
Hey, don't you kids knock anymore?
Sorry, we thought you were fighting or something.
Nobody's fighting in here. It's very late.
I think it's little touches like that, like coming up with the bra in your hand, that just make this movie.
That's
so
what makes me me.
Back to bed now. Rusty?
Chevy was really at his best in this movie. I loved working with him on this because we managed to find something for some little bit of business for almost everything. This is also the back lot at Warner Brothers. This was they used to call Laramie Street. This was they used when they used to shoot regular Western series.
If everything were like home, there'd be no reason for leaving home, right, Rusty?
Oh, yeah, Dad, this is great. You know, I'm glad we didn't go to Hawaii.
I'll bet you are.
Now, the interesting thing is that the sheriff in this, coming up, is Richard Dreyfuss's brother, Randy Dreyfuss.
Look at a drink. What do you say? Here you go, champ.
I think he works under a different name now, but then he was Randy Dreyfuss.
That guy right there.
Yeah, with the black hat.
Howdy, city slickers.
Looks like him.
Welcome to the long... Wow.
No fighting, no cussing, no gunslinging. Watch what you say to our bartender. He's an ornery cuss. Thank you, Sheriff.
You know, here you have the glasses.
Yeah, now I don't know why. There's no real rhyme or reason to it.
Now, this might be actually in a hotel in Durango, Colorado. I forgot the Stater Hotel in Durango. It's a kind of an old silver mining era hotel.
You should do a Western, Chevy.
Well,
I think you're missing your calling there.
It could be called Hey Knucklehead.
I love these laughs here.
Now, do you remember the joke Ziggy played on you, Chevy? The prop guy with the body that they throw off they threw a dead body when he shoots.
Wait, I like this. What did they do?
Do you remember
with
when
the body?
They had the gun and they shot it, and all of a sudden Ziggy throws something off the top balcony,
it's like a
and
dummy?
A dead dummy flies down, and everybody jumps.
I didn't remember that. Yeah.
He was a character.
I thought that was in Three Amigos.
Or Fletch, one or the other.
She's deaf.
Oh, what's the difference? It was fun anyway. Let's have a drink. What do you say? Pardon me, sir.
This is eastern Colorado. It's right on the edge of the Great Plains, right before the Rockies begin. We're based out of a town called Pueblo, Colorado. I planned a route that took us through all the most scenic parts of the West, and Pueblo was kind of a great place to base out of and to shoot the Kansas material, and just a really good jumping off point. And we found a farm not far outside Pueblo for Eddie.
The House of Mud. I think Dodge City was enough for one day. Besides, Catherine and Eddie are expecting us.
It's living history, Ellen. Mind if you'd rather see your cousins? It's okay by me. Personally, I'd rather see a pile of mud than Eddie.
Knock it off!
What's going on?
Rusty's licking his hand and touching him with it.
Clark, tell Rusty to behave himself.
Rusty, behave yourself.
Yeah, but Audrey's eating peanut butter cups and smiling with stuck all over her teeth.
Audrey, eat with your mouth closed.
No eating in the car.
I think this is where Chevy first sees Christie Brinkley in the red Ferrari. The studio, Christie was just becoming a superstar in the modeling world, and we wanted to use her, and the first time Christie and I met, I hadn't met her. We hired her without her reading or anything, but the first opportunity to meet her was when I got a phone call from our customer who's saying, could I come over to the wardrobe building and watch Christie try on lingerie? I said, I'll be right over. But she was a great girl and a lot of fun. She was with us for several weeks on this. These shots of the cars running, we made some of them from a helicopter. We were basically about 10 feet off the ground, ducking under the power lines as we tracked the two cars.
I don't know why, we're making good time. Love for sale. Ties and yummy love comes.
So this is Cousin Eddie's family. Catherine, his wife, is played by Miriam Flynn, who I knew from Second City. She was in one of the companies that followed mine at Second City. That's my daughter, Violet, playing little Daisy Mabel. She was about 5 at the time. And Randy Quaid was so wonderful in his reading. We designed this, we thought they would be the perfect Reaganomic family. Reagan had kind of invented trickle-down economics, and this was a family that was definitely suffering from, they were in a constant state of recession. But Randy was just great. He got this part like right off the bat. That's Jane Krakowski playing Cousin Vicky. Jane grew up to become a regular on Ally McBeal, and quite a good singer and dancer. There's my daughter, born without a tongue. Don't worry about her. Whistles like a bird and eats like a horse. Show them your worm farm. Well, we tried to create the most downbeat American family we could. Randy had a little gesture. You'll hear it. He clicks his tongue. Hear that little... he marked every point in the script where he wanted to go, which is apparently a verbal tick he got from a guy he knew growing up in high school.
The old homestead, huh? Yeah. I don't know for how long, though. Bank's been after me like flies on a rib roast.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Oh, fuck it.
Now, I love this bit that you guys do here with the antenna. It's great.
This is totally Randy giving me the empty beer.
This little shtick, Chevy cannot leave anything alone. Anything that he can touch that's near him, he's going to find a way to use as a joke. You'll see it all through the movie.
Great line here.
Here's the famous scene.
Yeah. That's Jane Krakowski.
Yes.
Very nice incest joke. That's always in good form.
Well, this was actually an R-rated movie.
Sure.
It's the only one of the vacations that was R-rated, I think.
No, European, I think it was R-rated.
Was it European was, too?
It's hard to believe.
Nope. You got asteroids? No, but my dad does. Can't even sit on the toilet some days. So what do you do here, Dale? Well, you got a stack of nudie books this high. Oh, she's beautiful. Would you want to sell any of them to me? Shit, no.
He's really well cast. This is where I discover all the porno collection that he has.
This is where you, and sure. And Audrey discovers something else.
I was getting
I like that he's working his muscles in his right hand.
Sure.
Really neat last year. Did you ever bop your baloney?
Uh-oh.
Very nice.
Wonder what that means. Don't we?
Remember, Chevy, you signed a photo for me when we finished the picture and said, Michael, no moss, no moss. Of course, the famous Duran quote. And
yeah.
You said, if you're going blind, you're doing it right.
That's
very
right.
Nice. Very good.
That's,
I framed
that. Funny that I said it earlier today, too.
Yeah, we said it three times on this.
I say it all the time. This is a brilliant scene by Miriam.
Miriam Flynn's a really good actress. She's her husband is Will Aldous, who was also at Second City. He's a writer and was co-director of a movie I acted in called Stealing Home, which she did several years later.
Gee, Kath, looks like you've really got your hands full.
Oh, not so bad. Daddy says after the baby comes, I can quit one of my night jobs.
How do you like yours, Clark?
Oh, medium rare, a little pink inside.
No, you're fine. Light or dark?
Oh, either way, it doesn't matter.
She's stirring the Kool-Aid with her hand.
Can I help you with that Kool-Aid? Please?
Mm-mm-mm. I don't know when they call this stuff hamburger helper. It does just fine by itself, huh? I like it better than tuna helper myself. Don't you, Clark?
You're the gourmet around here, Ed.
Randy, he's wearing the same shirt today.
I think so, yeah.
Very nice.
Very close.
No meat in this?
You get plenty of meat at home. Be polite. Have some ketchup.
Now, the late, great Imogene Coca is about to appear
yeah.
here.
Real tomato ketchup, man? Oh, nothing but the best.
Getting cold.
Is that your Aunt Edna?
Here she comes.
Yeah.
Imogene Coca.
Aunt Edna, after all...
When we first wanted to hire her, she said, I don't think I can be this mean.
Really?
That's
yeah,
right. She
yeah.
didn't want
she
to be
was
mean.
One of the sweetest ladies in the
and
world.
I convinced her as the truth that she's just a great actress and she can be anything she wants to be.
Yeah, she was...
From the show on shows forward, right? She's been around so long.
So long.
She worked with one of the funniest men of all time.
Randy?
No.
Sorry, Chad. That was a
nice
fast
try.
That's so true, Maddie, because when I remember after some of the times in the car when she was screeching, being mean, she goes, was I too mean? Was that just too much?
Oh, that's right. I remember.
Yeah, so
yeah.
sweet.
She was apprehensive about taking the role.
Good news. No, I was just about to.
Catherine, what's the good news?
When I was growing up, the Sid Caesar television show was just the center of comedy. And Imogene Coca was his great foil. She was, the Gilda Radner of her age. I mean, the best comedian around. And we're really happy to get her.
You won this for raising a pig?
Yeah, first place.
Does anybody know about it?
Everybody knows.
Vicky, don't get offended, but being a farmer is not too cool, you know.
Oh, yeah? Well, how cool is this?
Yep. I'm real glad that things are going good for you, Clark.
Imogene was a terrific person. She was a real kind of New Yorker, and her husband, King Donovan, came with her on location, and every night she and her husband, King Donovan, would dress up. He'd put on a tie and a blazer, and she'd put on a nice dress, and they'd sit in these Holiday Inn dining rooms as if they were in the middle of Manhattan. Really an elegant couple, and really sophisticated, and great to work with.
About our troubles.
No, it's very interesting.
Why don't you just ask him for the money, Eddie? You sure as hell can take a hint.
Well, I didn't want to ask you, Clark, you know, but could you maybe spare a little, you know, extra cash?
Sure, Eddie.
How much you need?
About $52,000.
Just slide that back in. I love the robe with the shoes.
Yeah, the shoes.
Yeah, it's great.
He gave me a pair, you know. Oh, no, a different shoe, the white.
So, Randy, was this what it was like growing up in Texas, or? Pretty much, yeah.
You and your brother are so famous now. I just wondered about your humble beginnings.
Autobiographical, Randy.
It really is. A lot of it. You take a lot of it, put a lot of myself in the role.
Right on.
Hey. Oh, Eddie, you shouldn't have. You really shouldn't have.
Oh, those are great, Dad.
Quiet down, Russ.
Put them on.
No, I don't want to get them dirty.
I told you he wouldn't like them, Eddie.
I love them, Eddie.
I knew you did, because last time I saw you, Clark, you remarked about how much you like mine.
Oh, well, I guess we better be going up.
Bye,
Ellen. Bye, Clark.
Goodbye.
We did that in Christmas Vacation, Beverly and me, with the hug.
Oh, here's the famous dog.
Oh, yeah.
His name was Popeye, I remember.
His name is Stinky. Watch his Family Feud.
Oh, well. Hi, how are you, little fella?
This was a very well-trained dog, trained to snarl and bite Chevy and hang on his pant leg. His dog's real name was Popeye. He actually got work out of this movie. I saw his credit on another movie after this. But his trainer was a really interesting guy named Julian Sylvester, who had been a game warden in Botswana and was kind of a very cool guy.
Ow.
My daughter, who's now 26 years old and has a baby of her own, 6 months old. Holiday Road, Lindsay Buckingham.
Get these sandwiches. Here, Aunt Edna.
Truck stop in Colorado. Since it was only my second film, I wasn't so aware of what on-screen promotions, and I'm a little embarrassed by a shot coming up when he sees Christy. She's posed in front of a 40-foot trailer, which I didn't even notice when I was shooting. That's how visually alert I am. Or if I did notice it, I didn't. I thought it was just a prop. I had no idea why we had basically a hardware store billboard in the movie.
Whoever's idea it was to put her in a shirt was great.
I always thought about it. That was the in
oversized
style.
Oversized shirt with a belt.
Yes.
Love that.
I think it started a little craze for a bit.
And Chevy, of course, has to impress her, so he sidles up to the tree here.
Chevy with the sandwich. We did a lot of this shtick.
They're all wet. But... Oh, God. The dog went on the picnic basket.
Christy was really good at this posing stuff. She hasn't yet had to say a line of dialogue, so it was a mystery to us how she was going to do when it came time to really shoot.
We were outside Durango, Colorado. It was the most beautiful area.
I felt like we had our own vacation within the vacation. It was so much fun.
And we started off in, what was that smaller town?
Pueblo.
Pueblo, yeah. And then there was even smaller than that. A tiny little town with a Holiday Inn that we stayed at.
Beverly Hills.
That's correct, sir.
Durango. I know you're in Durango.
Yeah, there was Durango and Pueblo and then another small place.
We built this this campground. These are basically our tents. No, we didn't build that. We actually found a camp, but the tents we used for shooting the family were ours.
Oh, excellent. They have a pool. Aren't the woods beautiful?
The clerk coming up is my great friend Brian Doyle Murray. We'd been together at Second City starting in the late 60s, and then Brian and I co-wrote Caddyshack with Doug, and Brian plays the caddy master in Caddyshack. And then Brian and I, after this, co-wrote Club Paradise, and Brian plays Voight Zerbe, the hotel owner in Club Paradise. He's been in numerous movies of mine, and Bedazzled, and with Bill Murray's older brother.
All right, that'll be $37.
$37 for 3 tents.
Oh, they're very nice tents. And that price includes scenery and wildlife fun.
Oh, come on, Clark. It seems like a nice place. It's got a pool and everything.
All right. Mm-hmm. Clark W. Griswold. You want my street?
Please.
What do you need my address for?
We'd like to send out a mailer.
Shall we get in?
Too cheap to pay for a hotel room, huh?
Ooh, Clark, this tent smells.
Edna, this is your tent.
Now, initially, the scenes here, something crawled in the... I think it was Brian. Initially, Brian, who plays the lodge manager, is sneaking around at night and sneaking into tents or being a... isn't that true, Maddie?
No, I think it was an animal that came in.
Or was it an animal?
It was an animal.
No, I believe he was wearing an animal's costume and would sneak into the tents to give you the wildlife fun.
But yes, that was in the original script. You're right.
It took too long, so we cut it to this.
Yeah.
It was just like a raccoon. Wild animal.
The budget for the film was kind of medium for a studio comedy. High for a comedy. They always like to keep comedy on the low side, but it was a pretty decent budget.
That's a lot of talk.
Prescient words. I'm going to kill that dog. There was a gag coming up that was so hard-edged in the John Hughes script, it actually couldn't be shot the way it was scripted, so we had to make some adjustments.
With every new day, there's fresh hope.
Hey, kids, let's go! It's daylight here! Hey, did you walk him?
Yeah, he took a big around and his blanket.
Good boy. Oh, boy. Better take care of Anna, and I'll take the lead.
This dog had more energy than any human cast member.
And got paid less.
Now, this, folks, is where I tie him to the bumper, but forget about it. And I don't ever remember this.
And it's the last thing he remembers.
Yeah. The last thing the dog remembers.
I can't tell you how many letters we got after this from people who said they had done the same thing.
Yeah.
I've tied the dog to the bumper. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And I've always wondered how they could live with it and tell me about it.
Hey, easy, kid. Come on, cut it out. Everybody in the car. Boat leaves in 2 minutes. Or perhaps you don't want to see the second largest ball of twine on the face of the earth, which is only 4 short hours away.
Now, another very, I think, scene that I love is another great character.
Oh, yeah.
It reminds me of Randy and reminds me of Brian, and that's James Keats right here playing the cop. When we did this scene, we just winged the stuff about the dog, you know, being I had a pup like that once, and God, it was funny as hell.
And he actually started to cry. And I remember he was crying in there.
Yeah.
He's married to Jane Seymour. She's pretty hot.
He did marry Jane.
The policeman is played by my old friend James Keach, the brother of Stacy Keach. He'd been in the movie The Long Riders about Jesse James. He and Stacy were the James brothers, and the Carradine brothers were in it, and the Guest brothers, and the Keach brothers.
Get out of the car. I don't think I was speeding. Was I weaving or something?
Shut your mouth, sir. You know, if I wasn't in uniform, I'd split your skull with the butt of this revolver faster than you could say police brutality.
Well, officer, whatever it is I've done, I'm sure I can explain.
explain this, you son of a bitch.
Oh, my God. You know what the penalty for animal cruelty is in this state?
No, sir, I don't.
Well, it's probably...
Here's where it starts.
Oh, you can't think I'd do this on...
Probably reason.
That's where he starts getting funny.
Jim Keach and I got along great. We went on to produce a movie together called Armed and Dangerous with John Candy and Eugene Levy.
Look, I told you I was sorry. It really was an accident.
Yeah. Well, I guess I can buy that, sir. But it is a shame. I had a pooch like this when I was a kid. Poor little guy. Probably kept up with you for a mile or so.
That's such a great line.
He's actually, I remember him crying. His tears in his eyes when he did this.
Probably thing. Kept up with you for a mile or so.
We're both going, well, you bounce away here, Joe. It's great.
Yeah, the bouncing away.
Very nice.
What kind of comedy is that, would you call it?
Bounce away comedy.
You've been exceeding the speed limit for thousands of miles.
Dad wasn't speeding. The cop stopped us because Dad forgot to...
He was speeding, Rusty.
No, he wasn't, Mom.
Russ, listen to your mother. I was speeding. I was driving like a maniac. We can all be grateful to this man for stopping us. You see, kids, a car...
Here's the lead, sir. I'm going back to get the rest of the carcass off the road.
good try.
Fantastic.
Try to keep it from Aunt Edna.
Is this your idea of a good restaurant?
Dog killer!
I'm sure the food is just fine.
Oh, I love this. This always gets me laughing.
You know how long it took us to figure this shot out? You remember that?
No, I don't.
I mean,
it was hard to get glass that would break like that.
At first, the idea was to hang it from wires up above.
Hang what?
The tray.
Oh.
And then
because when I put it on, it would break every time.
That's right.
Blushing?
You silly.
Are you all right, Clark?
Hell yes, I'm fine. I'm having a ball. Oh. Come on, honey. Look at the mountains. Breathe the air.
Good God, what overactive. Indicating.
Highway patrols were really cooperative, both here and in Colorado and Arizona. They would give us as much highway as we needed. But generally, the roads weren't that well traveled. These were not interstates. The Great Old Motel. I think that one might be in Arizona.
All my credit cards are in it.
Honey, number one, I've already called the bank and told them you lost them. B, there's no way we're going to find it when we don't even know where it fell off.
Remember number one and B. And then three. One, B, three.
And everything on this safari has cost twice as much as you figured out.
Honey, there's nothing in that luggage that can't be replaced. Except for your diaphragm. We can always cash a check down the road. Don't you trust me?
As long as you don't tie me to the rear bumper.
That hurt, Ellen.
Clark, I think we're lost.
We're not lost.
We're basing out of Kayenta, Arizona, Monument Valley, one of the great Western locations used in so many Western films in the 40s and 50s.
Hole in the world.
Clark, watch your language.
Make that the second biggest.
Dad, I haven't seen a car for an hour.
Oh, shut up, Audrey. You don't think Dad knows where he's going.
Thank you, Russ.
You're lost.
Every day we had to drive down into the base of Monument Valley, and we basically had a buffet for all the Native Americans in the valley who worked on the picture and brought their whole families over to have lunch with us. It was... All right, this is Dick Zeiker. Someone bet that Dick couldn't jump this car more than 50 feet, so Dick took all the weight out of it and jumped it more than 50 feet.
I think I broke my nose.
I stabbed my brain.
I just got my period.
I better check under the hood.
That was the same hefty bag from earlier, I think.
We tried to economize.
They remade
it. It was a low budget, you know.
I was whittling it down, Maddie.
Rusty, find the first aid kit, then get the suitcases and bring them here.
Mom, what?
It was quite a jump. The crew had made bets. They'd drawn lines in the sand and bet how far Dick Zeiker could jump that car, and he passed everyone's wildest expectations. There were five of the. We had five of those cars, and I think maybe one or two were left at the end. One, of course, had been cut down to tow on the trailer. This one was a total wreck. And then all the ones we used after this, we had to distress to match the damage. We didn't know what damage would be done when we jumped it. We didn't expect Dick to nose the car into the ground the way he did. So we had to damage the other picture cars after this to match the damage done to this car.
The audience loved that, seeing Edna put down like that.
Although they did love her.
Now split your lip!
I think this
was Monument Valley. It was one of the most beautiful locations in the world where we were playing this.
It's also 122 degrees that day.
Now, this is one of my favorite scenes. And this scene.
Oh, John Ford.
Right there. That's the first time we ever did that. Russ? Russ? Oh, there you are.
There you are, Russ.
And this was
now,
great.
This is probably one of my favorite scenes.
And you forget my name, too.
Yeah. Just listen to... It's worth just listening to the scene. It's a great scene.
You're growing up so damn fast. I spent the last 15 years of my life developing newer and better food additives. I guess I miss an awful lot. First, I didn't want to take this vacation. Now I'm glad I did. It's given me a chance to spend a lot more time with you and
Audrey.
Audrey, yeah.
And look how Michael held it. He never lost it.
Oh, she doesn't mean to be a pain in the rump. It's just the way she is. Let's not let it spoil our fun, huh?
I won't. You know, maybe she'd be a nicer person if she had a family of her own. You know, instead of always having to glom on to someone else's. You know.
It's good acting for a 14-year-old kid.
Really good.
Thanks, guys.
You'd already done Six Pack by then, right?
Yeah.
Had you done another movie?
Yeah, just one.
I know he'd done a Six Pack before the scene.
I've gotten so many questions over the years about that, and I just it's actually, I tell the truth, it's an empty can.
Yeah, it is. It is an empty can.
Yeah.
I thought it was about the best thing in the world.
At least I made it look like there was something in it. Watch you. Watch how you handle that.
Of course, we had sound effects. So. When I was a boy,
just about every summer we'd take it. So great.
Drink that. Not bad.
I believe that.
Yeah, actually, I do believe it.
Is that why I wasn't in the other three movies? Chevy is brilliant here because that's it, and the can's empty, and then he's off to save the family again here. Watch.
This was a special talent, as always burping on cue. You're annoying me all summer with that.
It is a great scene between father and son.
It's a great scene. And it's a change of pace, too.
I love the location, too. Monument Valley.
And then you just spring up here, Chevy, with resolve, like we're going to find a gas station near here.
Yeah, anywhere. It'd be phone booths. It'd be phone booths around the corner. or something like that. It was a gas station.
Good talk with Rusty. You'll be in good hands here, honey.
Monument Valley.
Russ will take care of everything. He's loaded.
It's like a John Ford Western.
I'd seen the movie Quest for Fire just before this about cavemen, you know, searching for, trying to kindle a fire, and the director used some very big, wide shots on long telephoto lenses, so I tried to do some of that in this sequence coming up. But Monument Valley, very familiar, unique spot on Earth. It's like the moon out there. So he goes off really optimistic and looking for a gas station. This is the shot I stole from Quest for Fire. But it was in the 90s and very dry, and the sun was unrelenting. We actually shot some of this. It comes up. There's a sand dune. A real desert shot coming up. I'm gonna die.
What an asshole.
Some real Navajos from the area. This desert shot, there were sand dunes right around there. We actually looked at Sand Dunes National Monument in Colorado. There's this massive sand dune right in the middle of the mountains in southern Colorado. But this was in a dune right near Monument Valley. We also had a camel at one point. He falls down and a man on a camel rides by. But the camel had been raised in Burbank, California on a ranch. It had never walked in sand and really just started freaking out. He was used to pavement. So. Suburbanite with a dead skeleton with a gas can.
Of his exact height and weight. All I know is the man was the same with children and a genius with food additives, and he was... Clark!
Clark!
Ah! I saw it, Buffy!
Russ! 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 Audrey! Audrey! Adam, you home?
Are you all right?
I feel fine! What happened to you? How'd you get here?
Well, these two nights...
That's a great voice. Good voice.
Back. Hey, kids, are you thirsty?
Yes, you are too.
You said it.
You remember John Deal, the actor?
Yeah, Mickey Jones. They play the two guys here.
Who's the other guy?
Mickey Jones.
Mickey Jones.
The guy
I just saw him a couple weeks
There's
ago.
There's John right there.
Okay. What do I owe you?
Never heard of no one so shit all stupid as you driving off that road. You must have got manure for your brains.
Yeah, well, I'm from out of town, so what's the bill? Come on, how much?
How much you got?
No, I'm asking how much the repairs are.
I'm asking you how much you got.
You're out of your mind. Look, I don't have time to play around, okay? So how much is it?
All of it, boy.
That's the famous line that everyone says they know him from.
What?
All of it, boy.
All of it, boy.
He signs all those autographs. All of it, boy. He signed Mickey to
20 a shot.
And he is the sheriff.
John Deal was so method. I remember him actually rolling around in oil at that gas station because he was so into it.
Yeah, a very method actor.
Method actor.
Oh, that's
I've
a great
I've worked
effect.
With him since. Yeah, he's great.
Now, the tires don't stay like that for the rest of the movie, but it's still a funny joke. And it took them a long time to fix them so they could do that.
What babysitting money do you have?
How come?
How much?
What's the matter?
Oh, nothing. I just spent $500 on four bald tires and a tow. How much do you have, Audrey?
35. She has $40, Dad.
How would you know unless you went in my purse, you rotten sneak?
Rusty, have you been going through her private property?
Look, I don't give a frog's fat ass who went through what.
I loved that line.
I use that line to this day.
How much you have?
She's asleep, Clark.
No, she isn't.
Uh-oh. Oops. Clark. I love the tape on the glasses now.
She has 11 cents, Dad.
Terrific.
The motel will cash a check.
Yeah, they better. We're going to run out of gas.
This actor is great with you, Chevy. James Staley.
This is Grand Canyon.
Yeah,
we're at the Grand Canyon here.
Yeah. The North Rim.
People do this now at the Grand Canyon when they go, this next scene.
Yeah.
I do that.
Head, you mean?
Yeah.
I think any beautiful shot when I go out on vacation, I do that one little bit that Chevy does.
I can't do that, sir. Look, I've lost all my cash and we're on our way to California. And
Wally World?
Yeah, Wally World. And I'm sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place, you know? I'd really appreciate it.
Not without a major credit card.
I have $6.13 to my name, so I can see we're going to have to work something out here between us.
Look, I've already told you, I can't accept a check without a major credit card.
I'm making this out for $1,000. All you have to do is give me $300 in cash and keep $700. All for doing nothing more than acting like a total creep.
The only thing I can do is have you stay here until the check clears. 10 working days.
We took a whole crew to Grand Canyon. So that's the lodge. It's a beautiful lodge. I forgot the name of it, though. But the whole joke is that Chevy looks at the Grand Canyon for, I think, 2 seconds.
Okay, let's go. Come on. Where's Edna?
She's in the car.
Good. Come on, kids. Get your butts in the car. Go.
Don't you want to look at the Grand Canyon? Okay.
And that is not a photo. We were actually there.
It does look like a photo, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Grand Canyon looks like a photo.
Yeah. Well, the car gradually gets more and more dilapidated.
Here it is. Up and at him. Crack open those sandwiches I got.
You know how you'd react if somebody was... you know how you react if somebody died and you didn't know they were dead?
Well, here it comes.
Here it comes. I just remember how I jumped out of the car.
People should study this in case it happens
yes.
to them. Yeah.
You're traveling with your family. Please be advised.
It's sort of the same way I reacted when the dog died, when I heard the dog died.
Phoenix, let her be. She's fine.
She's not fine.
She's fine. Don't be silly.
She's not fine, Clark. She's dead. This
all
almost
four of us
went
at
off.
Once here.
Remember how close you got to the edge? It doesn't look like that here, but we all panicked. Dick Zeiger.
There it is.
Dead person.
Mel Blanc there,
Chuck.
Oh, God, I don't know what it is. It's just that, don't touch it. It might be, you know, it might explode. It's dead. Yeah, it was very close to the edge. Yeah.
God damn it anyway.
Boy, we used a lot of bad language in this.
Part of the allure.
That's nice. Back there, Ann. Michael just picking his nose.
Very nice. A lot of primary colors happening with us. You know, eyes out, shirts and everything.
Our cinematographer was a guy named Victor Kemper. Really terrific DP. And our first assistant director, Robert Cohen, had kind of helped design the production so we could shoot as we moved from location to location. So we were moving the whole company to Durango, Colorado, and we grabbed these shots along the way. We would just stop, shoot, move on. We were just a long caravan of trucks.
Questing all that crap.
You are the most self-centered, egotistical, manipulative...
Don't say anything you regret, Ellen. I'm only being practical. If we drove straight through, we'd have 3 days at Wally World at best. 3. She can't weigh more than 100 pounds.
Oh, no! You can't put her up on that roof. Yes, he can.
You want me to strap her to the
This hook? Is so legendary, this putting her up on the roof. Just everybody talks about it.
The key to it was putting the purse on top of the
right,
blanket.
Right.
Exactly, because we had a dummy and then the purse on her lap. Very
yes.
good.
Do you
no, it was actually
Owen?
Imogene.
It was actually Imogene. We actually stuck her out there.
I don't know why she did it. I said, Imogene, get some
She's
rest.
She's a trooper.
She was method. She said, look, I got to... Hey.
Who was that, actually? Was that a dummy?
Yes, of course
remember.
It's a dummy.
It was a stuntman or something.
No.
It's Zeiger.
Zeiger, yes. But do you remember wearing wetsuits under our clothing because
no,
it was
I don't.
So cold?
God. It was cold, yeah.
Yeah, they made us these wetsuits.
I just remember there being a lot of people watching us shoot, and I was trying to pick up chicks.
I don't remember the wetsuits.
I don't remember that either, because I wasn't in a wetsuit.
Now, would this be Randy's cousin, Maddie? Cousin Normie? I don't know. Another cousin.
I never figured out.
We never really did a family tree on Cousin Eddie.
We got to do a family tree, Michael.
I got to tell you.
Eddie was related to Bev.
Yeah, no, Catherine was.
Okay.
Oh, that's
Catherine.
Right. That's yeah. what it was.
What's on second? Who's on third?
So we're all once removed.
Related. We wouldn't have Eddie related to Ellen.
So we had to do our own service here. Now, I remember that now. Funeral service.
Right.
Jeez, what a worm.
If I recall, we were all set to create rain, and then it rained, didn't it?
I think it did rain.
Yeah. That's imagery.
I remember them having...
They went both.
Yeah, on the roof they had the hoses.
Yeah, but it also rained.
That was imagery, and that was about take nine.
It was cold that night, I think.
Give her the umbrella.
Slip her in the night deposit box.
Shooting is always the iffiest part of a production. Someone said, another director said that shooting is the only time you're making the film worse. That when you're writing, you're always constantly improving it. Certainly in the editing room, you're saving everything you did while you were shooting, improving it again. But when you're shooting, things, you know, often don't go the way you'd hoped. The script is not as funny as you'd hoped. The actors don't do it quite the way you pictured. So it's always, every shooting day is a big challenge. But we were feeling like we were accomplishing something good every day. And I, even though I'd only directed one film at the time, all the films I'd been involved with up to that point had been quite successful. Animal House, Caddyshack, Meatballs, and Stripes. And I had no reason to think we couldn't do it again.
Honey, I'm not an ordained minister. I'm doing my best, okay?
Lord, we love this woman with all our heart.
Let's not overdo it, Mom.
Shut up. We know she deserves better than this.
My theory is that you don't, if you're afraid of going over the top, you don't know where the top is until you've gone over it.
I hope you understand. Have mercy on his soul.
Amen. Let's go.
Oh,
come on.
I hope at least you kids have learned something about life and death.
Yeah, don't die unless somebody's home.
Well, I think Normie will understand when he sees the note we pin on Edna's sleeve.
Sure, Clark. He left his dead mother tied to...
Chubby has this great speech coming up where he uses the F word a number of times. And we debated whether... we shot TV cover of all this stuff. Whenever we had some obscenity, we covered it with an acceptable obscenity for airplanes and television. But it was hard to cover. It's a great speech. We really do seem to depend on the F word. And Chevy did a version where he didn't say it. He did one where he just mouthed the F and never said the word. But nothing played nearly as well as the speech that he makes, which is right here.
I think you're all fucked in the head. We're 10 hours from the fucking fun park, and you want to bail out. Well, I'll tell you something. This is no longer a vacation. It's a quest. It's a quest for fun. I'm going to have fun, and you're going to have fun. We're all going to have so much fucking fun, we'll need plastic surgery to remove our goddamn smiles. You'll be whistling Symphony Doodah out of your assholes. I got to be crazy. I'm on a pilgrimage to see a moose. Praise Marty Moose! Holy shit!
Dad, you want to ask for something?
Don't touch!
Chevy snapped at that point, and it's funny because you never really take it seriously in this film. I mean, none of the emotions are played for real. It's simulated behavior in keeping with the broadness of the comedy. But it's okay. It makes the movie this kind of silly farce, and it's acceptable. When you're working in broad comedy, it's always hard to find these levels for serious stuff. In my later films, I was able to get more serious and still do broad comedy. A film like Groundhog Day, I mean, has some fairly serious stuff in it, but it still manages to get some good big laughs out of broad comedy. So it's like I was looking for my tone in these early films.
Yeah. You look good in those.
That's actually Bill Evans on the piano, incidentally. It was also actually Beverly D'Angelo's husband.
Lorenzo.
Playing the piano
pretending to play it.
Yeah. Yes. I remember Christy was a little nervous getting ready for the scene.
No, it's not Bill. It's not Bill Evans. I take it back.
No, it's not Bill. It's Lorenzo the Duke.
Somebody
Lorenzo, yes. He was a real Duke.
Oh, is that Lorenzo?
She was a duchess.
Yes, that's Lorenzo.
I heard a lot about him.
That's Beverly's real husband.
I didn't know he was in the movie.
He was a count.
Yeah, he was a Duke.
A Duke.
Right there.
Cigarette.
He looks a little bit like Harpo Marx.
Sure. Duke Marx. The Duke of Marx.
That's his wife, apparently. Fair enough.
I gather.
Now, Chrissy had been with us for weeks, shooting all that stuff on the road, and now here's her first dialogue scene.
Waiting for someone?
No! Mind if I sit down? Fancy seeing you here.
Having a nice little family vacation.
Oh, no. Would appear so, wouldn't it? No. The truth of it is, and this is highly confidential, I own this motel. Yeah. Own the whole chain nationwide. 2,200 units. Yeah, once a year I travel across the country incognito, you know. Check things out, see how the operation's running.
I thought you were going to say you work for the CIA.
That's an old bit, huh?
Really?
No, not with the CIA. I was. A long time ago. I don't like to talk about that, really. No, I'm mostly interested in my motels now. And my airline.
That's great.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to have a little fun.
It's too bad you're married. I'm in the mood for some fun.
Married? Oh, you mean those people I'm with? It's my brother's family. My brother's ring. You know, I usually borrow them on these little inspection tours of mine. It sort of helps complete the disguise. It's fun for them.
It's a good disguise. I like the station wagon effect.
Yeah, well, that's a big part of it. You know, in order to be convincing, you have to look and act like an ordinary jerk. You know, stop at all the stupid sights and look like a fool.
Basically, be yourself.
Yeah. Well, you like the disguise. Yeah, my credo is, if you have to have a credo, you know, go for it, pretty much. You only go around this crazy merry-go-round once, you know?
I agree.
Yeah.
Chrissy, of course, was more... That's the lingerie she modeled for us earlier. I mentioned earlier. She really didn't want to consider actually being fully naked in the picture, and I never pushed that on an actress.
It's where Penny saved, Penny's from heaven. My favorite credo. You know, Penny saved and...
Is that music enough of a cliche, do you think? I don't know.
This feels great.
It was actually about 59 degrees.
Yeah, it was cool.
Here?
For starters, sure. Why not? Don't you swim?
Oh, sure.
The reason her arms are going back and forth and mine are when we're in the pool is that I think I am naked in the pool. Is to keep the water blocking you from being able to really see.
I'm proficient in many strokes and I dive. As a matter of fact, I could have been in the Olympics. Yeah, I'll be right there. Yeah.
You were playing a lot of tennis this time, I remember.
Yeah, and I was eating a lot.
Wow,
How's the water?
Exhilarating.
I'm in deep.
God knows what that is.
Yes, it sucks.
Dark holes! Jesus! Fuck!
No, I'm wearing the shorts.
Oh!
Clark?
Hi, honey.
What are you doing?
Swimming. Yeah, my back was killing me. And I thought, you know, a good hot swim loosens up the muscles. Why go to the car, get the bathing suit, jump right in, and it's exhilarating. And guess what, honey? This person here was here. I didn't see this person, so I screamed. You know, that's why I yelled. I was so surprised. You can imagine, can't you, honey? Honey?
So that was a bodysuit on Christie, huh?
Yeah, you
can
see.
She was wearing, what do you call, what is it, it's called a bodysuit?
It's a flesh-toned bodysuit.
Flesh-toned, yeah.
You have to go.
Well, I'd stay if I weren't married, but I am.
I know.
I hope I didn't spoil your evening.
No, it's been interesting.
Well, enjoy the rest of your trip.
You too.
Of course, they cut the kiss and the...
And the sex. Yes.
I think we shot 55 days on the movie and then pickup days at the end. Basically, we had to rethink the whole end of the movie. When we got the family to Wally World, the way the script is written, was written originally, the park is closed. And Chevy... just snaps and decides to go to Roy Wally's house, and we shot the whole sequence. He goes to his house. We used a mansion in San Marino next to Pasadena that later became the house they used in Dynasty. So we shot this whole sequence with Roy Wally and some executives. Chevy takes them prisoner with a pellet gun he's bought and makes them sing and dance for him. He wants his dime's worth of entertainment. And the audience was hysterical watching the film in our test market screenings all the way up to that moment. And then they went strangely quiet and did not laugh again for the rest of the picture. And it occurred to me that they'd now invested about 75 minutes on the way to Wally World, and they really expected to get to Wally World, and here we were denying them, you know, the payoff to the whole trip. So I asked John Hughes to write a new sequence where the family got to Wally World, and Clark Griswold hijacks the park, basically, which is closed for repairs. We cast John Candy in the part of the security guard at the camp, and that became the end sequence. We edited it, we attached the film, we tested it, and then the test marketing went through the roof at that point. But we'd gone off on that. When we followed the original script, it really took us nowhere. But then the rethink kind of saved the picture in a big way.
Ellen? Ellen? Honey? Are you mad?
No. Do you like that girl?
It's a great line. Do you like that girl? Is that what you want?
No.
She's ugly.
How could I like a girl like that? She's ugly. I love you. I'm sorry about everything. I got angry because...
He's not a very good person. No, he's not a good husband or even a good person, but he's enough like people really are that we see ourselves in it. Almost every husband has at one point decided to go for the big lie. When you have no other choice, you tell the big lie. She's ugly. That girl? No. it's just a wonderful character. And there's no question, you know, that Chevy wanted to do it again and again and again. You know, it's the best character he's ever had in a movie. So they get together, and that pays off finally. Which takes us to Wally World. Then we pick up the actual... No, we did these helicopter shots. Yeah, there's the family truckster. They get in the Wally World. We used the parking lot at Santa Anita Racetrack as the parking lot of Wally World, enhanced with actual matte paintings, you know, before digital work. These were actual paintings that were then optically inserted. That's an optical paint. That's a painting right there. I actually have that painting. So the top half of the frame is obviously painted, and the bottom half is live action. Rocco Joffrey, I don't know if I mentioned it, is the matte painter. That's a matte painting also. Empty parking lot of Santa Anita. It was about 100 and over 100 degrees in L.A. that day, and this is in Pasadena. And on the pavement, we took the temperature of the pavement. It was 130 degrees. And the scene calls for Chevy and the whole family to run from this distant parking space. He thinks his justification, we'll park here, and then at the end of the day, we'll be the first ones out of the parking lot once this place fills up. You notice his head doesn't cross the mat line. Nowadays, digitally, you'd do it. You'd put a green screen behind him. He could do whatever he wanted. But in the days of optical printing, the lines were kind of hard-edged. We'll be the first ones out. Right, Russ?
That was about take 20. Jeez, a little bit of a nutcase. All right.
Two of us. Now, we got this music because Warner Brothers had Chariots of Fire,
the Oscar-winning film, right.
I remember Michael actually trying to beat me.
Yeah, and you're 6'4". I'm like 5'8 at the time.
Yeah. I gave you...
Let's try that run again.
Yeah. Now I have to bring something up here because it is kind of funny. This was like sort of pre-puberty for me, and then once we did these shots on the inside of the park where we see John Candy, puberty had kicked in, let's just say that.
Well, we had come back for the second ending, and by then you had grown.
Yeah, so look at the difference here, and then when I go inside with the family.
Oh. And also I had gained about 10 pounds.
None of the audience knows about that very first ending.
You might recognize this voice coming up.
Sorry, folks, we're closed for 2 weeks to clean and repair America's favorite family fun park. Sorry.
What?
Clark, what are you doing?
We watch his program. We buy his toys, we go to his movies.
He owes us. Doesn't he owe us? Huh? He owes the Griswolds, right? Fucking A, right, he owes us.
Clark, you're scaring me.
Don't be scared. I just think somebody owes us an explanation, that's all. Come on, come on, come on.
Clark. Clark, now just a minute.
Santa Monica, right near where I used to live.
Honey, you want to check the mileage for me, please?
Where are you going?
I'll be right back.
Sporting Goods. We put that sign in the window. It's not really a sporting goods thing.
Clark, will you listen to me? Let's just follow.
find a hotel. I'll call my parents. They'll wire us some money. We can fly home and forget this entire vacation ever happened.
Honey, just relax, okay? I told you I'm not angry anymore. I'm in complete control. I'm sure they're not repairing everything.
So this was all part of the reshoot. We had 4 days to do this sequence, and it worked out perfectly. We had the park all to ourselves. It was John Candy. John was great. I'd worked with John on SCTV and knew him really well. We'd worked well together, and he'd been in Stripes also. And he had a character he'd created on SCTV called Paul Fist in Your Face, who did a home building show. He was just kind of a big clod. And I asked him to kind of do this character as a relative of Paul Fist in Your Face.
Well, nobody notified this office of anything.
Well, I'm notifying you.
I'm afraid I'm going to need a little more than that, sir.
Okie dokie. How's this?
Clark, have you lost your mind? Where did you get that?
Sporting goods store, honey. Now you listen to me.
I love the tag still on the gun.
Okay, we just drove 2,460 miles just for a little Roy Wally entertainment. The moose says you're closed, I say you're open.
We're not really...
Look how big Michael is, look.
Grew about 3 inches from the time we got in there.
You're right.
He had
grown.
Huge.
Yeah. And then remember Frank McRae, Chevy? This guy was great.
Yeah. Look at you.
Great actor.
Sit.
He treated me like a dog. Let's go lie
down. Roll over.
Roll over. Stay. Okay. Okay.
Eddie Bracken.
Yeah, the late...
Eddie Bracken,
great,
who played
Eddie
Roy
Bracken.
Wally.
Right.
Was a great... He's a great boxer. He's a professional boxer, and he was a great vaudevillian comic.
Right. He's in all those Preston Sturges movies, too.
He was a big, big, big star in the 40s.
In the 40s, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, Rusty, but when this is all over, your father may be going away for a little while.
Boy, I sure am bushed. Have you had enough yet, sir?
What do you mean, bushed? Where are the big rises? The big ones?
Now, Chevy, you were not happy about going in this role. I remember that. You were not happy about taking this big...
I remember
that. I was the only one that actually could fit with John. Remember in the front? Because, Danny, you didn't fit with John. Well, Chevy wasn't going to fit.
I was not down.
I think
down.
I went about four times, and that was about it.
As
few times as possible.
Right.
Maybe five times, six times, I don't know. But as few as possible.
The motion sickness pill, because I would throw up on these things, so I was sleeping on a park bench, and they had to shoot you, too, because...
Yeah.
Look at my face. That's all real. I hated it.
This is an old ride, too. It's all wooden and real rickety, I remember. This is not acting for me either. I'm sitting there with John and we were
scared to death.
Scared to death. But it's a thrill. A thrill ride.
How many times did you have to ride it?
Oh, too
I don't
many.
Remember.
We had to ride it, you know, put people in the front and because the camera was stuck in the front and we had to ride and
a bunch of times.
So many different
about
times.
About 7 to 8 times.
That's why I was passed out on because I couldn't.
I got away with this shot I was able to get away with one time.
You won't see me.
Just by sitting in between the two of them.
Yeah, find the lens there in the back.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't take it. This really was something. This really did take it out of me in the stomach. Remember? Your stomach went right up to your head?
Yeah, that was another reshoot, that one.
Whoa.
It's such a great score. It has such a cartoon quality to it, you know?
Oh, Ralph
Burns.
Oh,
fantastic.
Just great. He's another one like Elmer Bernstein that usually did and does dramas rather than comedy.
This was their first modern roller coaster called Revolution. We had to ride this one a lot of times.
That's not a real gun, is it, Clark? What, are you kidding? This is a Magnum PI.
It's a BB gun.
Don't try me. I could put an eye out with this thing.
You couldn't even break the skin with that thing.
Oh, it could. It could. It could break
the skin. I love John's just like a big kid in this part.
Funny
you know?
Line. He could break the skin and yeah. give you an infection.
This is great.
Clark! Oh. You see, I told you. I warned you. Wreck these pants, you're paying for them. I'll pay for
them. Wreck these pants, you're paying for them.
Now, this did frighten me a little bit because there's no edges. And John and I weighed a combination of about 500 and 600 pounds between the two of us.
5 to 6 in a second there.
Yeah, and yeah. we're in the front car. It was scaring the living dead. Look at that. That's what we were looking at.
Now I know why.
We had to go on a loop-de-loop. Scared the pants off both of us.
Did this go upside down? That's what
I'm
saying.
What is that, the Viper? Is that the Viper?
Yeah.
So I guess Janie took the kids to Disneyland growing up, huh?
Janie was pregnant with my oldest daughter during
That's
this
right.
making
first,
of this.
First child, yeah.
In fact, she's even listed on here as the production secretary, I think.
That's right.
She,
that's
was,
where you met.
She
yeah.
was, yeah.
No, it's not where we met.
You're not
we
where
met,
you met?
No, we met on another picture called Under the Rainbow. We were living together for 2 years. Wouldn't she be pregnant already if I met her on here?
All right. I'm a little
thanks
slow.
A lot.
I'm a little slow, Chad.
It's a long shoot.
Don't bring up wives, I guess, huh? It was a long shoot.
No, I'm just curious to see.
Okay, now this is another. This is part of the reshot ending here. Yep.
Freeze! Don't shoot! Get out! All right, hand behind you.
Roy Wally is played by Eddie Bracken, who is really one of the great song and dance men of the 40s and 50s. He almost got the part in Wizard of Oz of the Scarecrow. He came very close to that. But he was an immensely talented comic actor and had a really good career on Broadway. And a lot of fun to work with. Really swell guy. Here he comes, Eddie Bracken. He had starred in a couple of Preston Sturges comedies, Hail the Conquering Hero and Miracle of Morgan's Creek, which were Preston Sturges' two most popular comedies in the late 40s.
He treated me like a dog, Mr. Whitey. He humiliated my human decency. This guy.
He really looks like Walt Disney in this.
Yeah.
Yeah, the mustache and everything.
He was wonderful. He was performing up until a year and a half ago.
On the stage, yeah.
Yeah, in New Jersey.
He passed away only a few months ago.
Yeah. I talked to him not too long ago.
One of my men, sir.
But I was the one who was sick. Well, anyway, Mr. Wally, I went on all the rides, and you know, I didn't even get sick this time. Normally, I get sick on all your rides.
Quiet!
I didn't get sick, what?
I felt as if John just winged that whole thing. He was so good in that.
Yeah.
Make some sense out of this. Well, somebody better explain, or there'll be a lot of explaining to do.
I'm Clark W. Griswold.
Huh?
And, this is my wife, Ellen.
Hi. We're really big fans of yours. We watch your show all the time.
Oh,
hi, Anna. My children are being rusty.
Nice family.
We're from Chicago, Roy, the Windy City.
Oh, yes, I've been there many times.
Yeah, we just spent 2 weeks of living hell driving out here.
Lost a very dear member of the family along the way.
But the important thing, Roy, is that we could have gone anywhere we wanted to this summer, you know? Anywhere in the world. But when I asked my kids, and I said, kids, you remember when I said, where would you like to go this summer?
I love your answer here.
What'd you say?
Why?
A little recall from an earlier joke, yeah?
Wally World Dad. Yeah, this is the sentimental ending of the film. It's really cheesy, but it was really the only logical way to pay it off.
I thought so.
Yeah. 7. Did you hear that, honey?
You look so young.
So you do look very young.
Oh, did you?
Did you ever?
Did you know that Eddie Bracken was a great boxer too?
No, I didn't know.
Yeah. No, I didn't know.
Yes, he was.
A professional
fighter.
In the 40s, as I say, he was one of the 3 or 4 big male stars because, you know, during the war.
He was right out of that vaudevillian era into
funny
film.
Guy. Very funny
he,
guy.
My dad had directed commercials, and they did a commercial together way, way back. He's been acting a long time.
In TV, early TV, you mean?
Yeah, early television. Seen the look on my kids. You notice we're all pale because of the new ending, but before, if you look back, we're very tan.
Well, I'm very sorry, sir, and I'm sorry to all these people here.
I forgot about that, the other ending. I have it on tape. I have
I've never seen it.
The original picture with the old ending.
That pool behind that Jeffrey Hills house, whatever. Mm-hmm. Remember that, yeah.
We're all finished here, Mr. Wall. You want me to take him downtown and book him?
No. Forget it, officer. I'm not going to press any charges.
Ouch!
This was a summer picture and played very well. I think it came out in July. There's another Lindsey Buckingham song, Dancing Across the USA, and went with the snapshot theme for the end title. It's really fun to do. I know among the most just pleasant production experiences I ever had. Chevy and I got along great. I really enjoyed all the kids and Beverly and all the cast members, and things went pretty smoothly. Our associate producer, a production associate, had been a PA on Caddyshack, Trevor Albert, who then started producing with me. We produced Groundhog Day together, and then Stuart Saves His Family, Multiplicity, Bedazzled. He's a terrific guy, and you know he was just beginning his career at that time. So I have a lot of happy. There's my daughter again in the front. I have a lot of happy associations with this movie, and it was quite successful at the box office. And of course, got me my next job at Warner Brothers, which was not successful at the box office, but it's a movie I love called Club Paradise with Robin Williams and Peter O'Toole and a bunch of Second City actors, really funny people. So this is Harold Ramis, the director of National Lampoon's Vacation, thanking you for supporting these movies. You know, we've gotten a lot of credit for kind of starting a kind of, people called it the new comedy in Hollywood, but for me, it's based on traditional comic values that have been around since the days of silent comedy, and it's very exciting when these things work, and the audience has always been really good to us. So I appreciate that, and I have an attitude of gratitude, as Mel Franken used to say.
Goodbye, everybody.
All I can say is goodbye, and thanks for being my fan. I'm sorry for being all of our fans for all these years. I think it's time that we flew. We went dancing across the USA.